Hey, this is episode 27 of the TV Junk Podcast, and this is TV Junk Madness 2024. Damn that television! What a bad picture! Don't get upset. Thanks for checking out the show. My name is Greg. You can follow us on our Twitter, TV Junk Podcast, and you can also email us tvjunkpodcast@gmail.com if you have any comments or suggestions for shows that we can do. We need your suggestions. Like we're running out of some good shows to do. Not a lot coming through, so this is why we're doing a special episode for March. And today on the show, we've got Sean.
Hello.
And we got Frank.
Hi there.
So you guys are familiar with college basketball, right?
Yes.
All right. I've heard of it. You've heard of it. Okay. So in March, they do the big tournament. The NCAA calls it March Madness. And it's just this massive tournament to crown the NCAA basketball champion. So, you know, lots of other places do this kind of a thing, but use a different topic than basketball and try to find out what's the best or what's the greatest. And instead of doing television shows, I thought it might be interesting to do television theme songs. And being the age that I am, I watched and grew up with a lot of the 1970s sitcoms, and I thought that would be a great idea for us to start there and do this for the first time. And so I emailed everybody in the Junk crew, and then quickly realized and remembered that I'm 10 years older than pretty much all of you guys. And the majority of these television shows, none of you have ever really watched. And, you know, maybe you caught something at lunchtime when you were home from school one day. So you weren't very familiar with a lot. So I reached out to a bunch of other people that I knew that were closer to my age. And I was able to come up with a bracket. I picked what I felt were, well, I thought of the best sitcoms that aired in the 70s, at least aired partially in the 70s, and came up with a list of 32 sitcoms. And I wanted to weed it down to 16. So I asked everybody to give me their top 10. Didn't have to be ranked in any specific order, but just give me your top 10. And using that information, I was able to get it down to a 16 and created a bracket, and I shared with you guys. And so what we're going to do on the show today is we're going to find out in our useless opinion, what the best 1970s sitcom theme song is. And we're going to use facts. We're going to talk about the songs. It's not really about the shows, but maybe something about the shows might influence the theme song. Cause you know, we'll get into all of that.
It is just this. Well, there's still, if it's just the song or
it is just the songs,
there are questions.
Yes.
Number one.
Yes.
Is the look or the production of the opening credits in synchronicity with the song a factor, or is it just the audio quality of the song? A song I would listen to on its own. Cause some of these songs I do listen to on their own.
And some of these songs were like Billboard charting hits.
Okay. So it's just the song.
Just the songs.
Now, there are certain cases where the song changes over the seasons of the show.
Correct.
And I didn't even hear the first season. I didn't even know it. I listened to it. I'm like, this is not what I remember. This is not the banger I remember from my youth.
Right.
And then I listened to like season 7. I'm like, this is it. This might be number one. So which one am I using?
The one that I used was the one that was used the most.
Okay.
What show are you talking about, Frank? Maybe I don't even know the different versions of these theme songs.
Well, I mean, I think it's our first one we're going to talk about. I know we're not there yet, but The Facts of Life.
Oh, yes.
The original Facts of Life song does nothing for me. But then
No. There is a difference.
Tempo. Oh, yeah. I love that jam.
Yeah, no, there's a big difference, and we're going to focus on the one that was used from season 2 and beyond.
Okay.
All right.
I hope that's the one I know.
it's probably the one you know.
Okay.
What was I going to say? The interesting thing that I found about doing this was a lot of the ones that I really appreciated the most, like the bangers, like the songs that put me in the mood to watch a sitcom did not make it anywhere near the top 16. And that was super disappointing to me. Like Alice. Now, we've talked about Alice on this podcast before. New Girl in Town is an amazing song sung by the lead actress on the show. The theme song to One Day at a Time is a banger. And you guys are shaking your heads like you have no idea what these are. And
I listened to, I think, almost all of them in preparation, the original. Okay. And sure. I did not like any of those songs.
Oh, my God.
But I've never seen those shows. So that plays a role.
And I think the greatest sitcom television theme song ever is the theme from Barney Miller. It's got this amazing bass groove and a wicked guitar solo, and there's horns, and it just gets me excited to watch like the mishaps of police officers in that setting in the 70s and Hal Linden and but just a great song.
Guitar solo. Everything you just said could also be applied to the Night Court theme song. Maybe that's just your thing. A bass groove and some horns.
You know what? That's not a bad thing to say. I love bass grooves and I love horns.
All right.
So let's just get right down to it. I did the top 16 seeds. So we're going to do it regular bracket style, the way that all these tournaments do it. So one goes up against 16. So the theme song that got the most votes, and I believe every person that I sent this to voted for this song.
I did not.
You did not? No. Okay, so then you might have been the one holdout. But the theme from Welcome Back, Kotter. Now, if you're not familiar with the show, it was starred Gabe Kaplan, who became a professional poker player later on after he was an actor. He started as a high school teacher in charge of a bunch of he taught like this class that dealt with like racial and ethnically diverse remedial education. And he had a group of students. They were called the Sweat Hogs. This was how John Travolta got his big break. If you've ever heard the name Horshack and Epstein and Washington, those were the other members of the Sweat Hogs. And the show ran from 1975 to 1979. Now, the theme song was written and recorded by John Sebastian, who was the lead singer of a band called The Lovin' Spoonful. Now, this song reached number one in the Billboard Hot 100 chart, stayed there for 1 week, and actually was there for 5 weeks on the chart. So this was a pretty big hit for a television theme song. So The Lovin' Spoonful, their big hit was a song called Do You Believe in Magic, which I believe McDonald's used in the 80s as a song in their commercials, which might be more familiar to you guys, as that's
what
you
Summer in the City as well.
Yes, that was also them. So,
Do You Believe in Magic? Was that something? Was there something with Michael Jordan tied to that as well, or something?
Maybe Magic Johnson.
Oh, Magic Johnson. I guess that makes more sense.
Yeah,
I just had basketball in my head. That's all I can say.
So the number 16 seed was The Facts of Life. We just mentioned it. Frank, clearly you are a big fan of The Facts of Life theme song. The show ran from 1979 to 1988. It was a spinoff of Different Strokes. It was kind of the story about a woman named Edna Garrett, who was the housekeeper on the Different Strokes show. And she went and got her own show, and she became the house mother of an all girls boarding school in New York. Now the song was written by Gloria Loring and Canadian icon Alan Thicke.
Nice.
He's done a bunch of TV theme songs.
Yes, he has. And Gloria Loring was the singer. Now there were two versions of this song. She did sing both. The first season was the one that you don't like, and the other version was the one that was used from seasons season 2 through 6 was the original version, and then season 7 to 9 was the second version of the theme song. So do you remember which version you listened to, Frank?
I listened to both, and
I listened to both.
I listened to season 8, and that was the one I remembered and loved as a child.
So talk about the two different ones. Like, is it a different tempo? Like, what do you, or is it lyrics?
It's more like one's more 80s instruments and the other one felt like more vocal. I honestly had never heard the original one before to any recollection. So I hate it. I loathe it. I would throw it in the garbage compared to
It says here on Wikipedia, the well-known opening lyric, "You take the good, you take the bad," was not in the first season. That was introduced later.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's the version I know.
Well, sure. I mean, that's kind of that's the kicker of the song, right? That's what the facts of life is all about.
Absolutely.
It's all about you.
That's right. So Frank, we did decide earlier, I said that we would use the one that was used the most. And so seasons 2 through 6 would be used more than seasons 7 through 9. So the one that you really appreciate is not the one that we're looking at here.
Okay. But there's still a season 1 as well, right? I think,
which is really ridiculous. Yeah. It's way off.
Okay. I know I didn't even vote for Welcome Back, Kotter. So I know.
Okay. So your pick is The Facts of Life.
Of course, not even close. It was my favorite show when I was probably 5 or 6. I loved The Facts of Life.
Which one of the characters was your favorite?
It's weird because I only remember the names Joe and Tootie, but the main girl who was on Survivor, I think.
Blair.
Yes.
Blair was your favorite. Natalie was the other one. And George Clooney was on this show.
Yeah, I think it was on Friday nights. I remember being excited for the show to come on, and I remember nothing else.
Well, we remember mostly the theme song, which is really what makes it such a good song. All right, so you're going to vote for The Facts of Life. Mm-hmm. I'm clearly going to vote for Welcome Back, Kotter. I think it's a much better song. It's got a better groove. I find it more soothing. Than the Facts of Life theme song. So Sean, this one is up to you. Are we going to have a major upset in the first round?
I mean, this is rough. I was shocked that Welcome Back, Kotter was the number one seed. Like, it's a good theme song. I was shocked it was number one. It was recently in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, if I remember correctly.
It was.
So maybe a little bit in people's minds because of that, but I got to go with The Facts of Life. Like, that is one of the, like, as soon as I see the title of the show, the theme song's in my head, like no questions asked. And like, I didn't even watch the show that much. Like, it's just a great theme song. So maybe you picked the wrong people to do this podcast with.
But. No, I think that this is actually, because you guys, since you don't particularly know the shows all that well, you really are just, for the most part, judging on the theme song. I mean, yes, you've probably seen some episodes, but you know, you don't remember too much about them, but the theme song is what sticks in your head. And that's really, you know, the point of why we're doing this. And the fact that we had the biggest upset, the very first match we had, is amazing.
Well, that's when did the first episode of Facts of Life air? We should probably, it was 79. So it's more of an 80s show. Like,
it is.
Yeah, that could explain it too. Yeah.
But hey, I'm just following the rules.
You're just following the rules. There is no fair in these rules. I set the rules. So this was how I decided to do it. And if anybody is really upset.
Oh, people are going to be upset.
then I think that might be some bigger problems than that. All right. So let's just go straight down in the bracket here. And we're going to go to number 8 versus number 9. Which is Sanford and Son versus MASH. Now, two completely different styles of theme songs here. You got Sanford and Son, which is, you know, again, it's more of a groove, it's, you know, really screams the 70s style, whereas the MASH theme song was just kind of a different composition of the original music from the MASH movie. So
Suicide is painless.
That's right. A big contrast between the two. So if you're not familiar with Sanford and Son, the show aired from 1972 to 1977. It was based on a British sitcom called Steptoe and Son, and this starred Red Fox. The American version starred Red Fox. He was a popular stand-up comedian at the time. And, you know, a huge influence on a lot of stand-up comics like Eddie Murphy. And I don't want to mention Bill Cosby, but I just mentioned Bill Cosby. And this theme song, it had a name called The Street Beater. And it was composed by Quincy Jones. And it was actually released on one of his albums called You Got a Bad Girl, and it was a single, and it was also featured on his Greatest Hits album. So this was also a popular song played on the radio. Whereas
Sanford and Son theme was played on the radio.
Yeah, it was. Is there lyrics? Yeah,
because all the ones I listened to for this were just instrumental, right?
Yeah,
we're judging the instrumental version.
Sure. Well, there are radio stations that play instrumental music.
I guess I was asking, were there lyrics in his?
I don't believe there were lyrics. No, I've never heard lyrics for it. And then we've got MASH. This ran from 72 to 83. It was a long running show based on doctors in the Korean War. And it was based off of a movie of the same name. Now, the instrumental version of this song, Suicide is Painless, like this was written for the movie, and so they adapted into the television show. Again, two different styles of music, but both iconic theme songs in their own right. I'm assuming you may have watched an episode or two of MASH in your life, but you've probably never seen Sanford and Son.
I've seen some of Sanford and Son. My friend in university really enjoyed it. So
okay,
I've seen MASH, not Sanford and Son.
All right, so taking in these theme songs, you listen to them. What's the better theme song, in your opinion, Sean?
So the thing with MASH is, as a kid, I absolutely hated the show, absolutely hated the theme song. It was so depressing. As soon as I heard that theme song, I was like, I'm out of here. Like, I'm not sticking around to watch this thing.
You moved out.
The sitcom equivalent of the 700 Club coming on when you're on break or something like that. Like that.
Pretty much.
No kid wants to watch this show.
Exactly.
The sitcom equivalent of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Right. So, I mean, although I can appreciate that the theme song kind of matches the tone of the show a bit, and, you know, it is an iconic theme song, I think, I got to go with Sanford and Son. I like the groove. I'm down with Sanford and Son.
My vote is also for Sanford and Son. Frank, just throw your vote out.
My vote would be MASH. I don't particularly care for either of these themes, but the Sanford and Son song does nothing for me. I don't even get it, how it's this high on the list.
But did it make you run out of the room when it came on, like it did the MASH theme for sure?
No, but I guess I didn't hate the song then. Like it's stuck in my head right now. It's on a loop since we've mentioned it. So I have to give it that credit at the very least. And it was more the show I dreaded, not the song. But the song indicated this terrible show is about to ruin my day. And I had to go find, I would be so desperate for anything. I'd even watch Ewoks or Droids or Inspector Gadget, the terrible global TV shows, anything to get me out of the MASH vortex.
Yeah.
Perfect. I think that was well said. All right. So the number 9 seed, MASH, is out. Joining
MASH Life is making it to the final four, baby. Yeah.
It might. Yeah. You never know. All right, so let's move on to number 5 versus number 12. So we've got the Jeffersons coming in the 5th seed. This was a show aired on CBS from 75 to 85, lasted 11 seasons. George and Louise Jefferson were a couple that were able to move on up from Queens to Manhattan because of the success of George's dry cleaning chain, Jefferson Cleaners. This was a spinoff of All in the Family. The theme song, Moving On Up, was written and performed by Janet Dubois, who was actually one of the actresses who was on the show Good Times, another great sitcom theme from the 70s that did not make the top 16. Moving On Up, I think is a great song. It's this one has another great groove to it. And it's going up against number 12 seed, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. This show was created by James Brooks and Alan Byrne, starred Mary Tyler Moore. It aired from 1970 to 1977. It was about a bunch of fictional characters who worked together at a local news station in Minneapolis. The song was written and performed by Sonny Curtis. Love Is All Around is the name of the theme song. It reached number 29 in the Billboard charts. And fun fact, Sonny Curtis was a member of Buddy Holly's band, The Crickets.
Doesn't really matter. This song doesn't have a chance. It's a piece of garbage. I can't believe it's on this list. I have my own copy of this spreadsheet that I'm filling in as we go. I've already filled in the Jeffersons. I like the Jeffersons theme quite a bit, but I mean, Mary Tyler Moore Show, I don't even understand the appeal.
It's a pretty, like, I don't even know what the word is. It's just very like laid back. It kind of picks up a little bit at the end, but like it does not stick in my head at all.
I think people really like Mary Tyler Moore, and that's affecting people's feelings about the song. So I'm glad Sean and I can be objective, step back and say that song is pure garbage. There's no place on the show.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch either of these shows, but I would definitely give it to the Jeffersons.
Clearly, I think that is the much better song. So number 5 seed moves on, and we say goodbye to Mary Richards. Love Is All Around, The Mary Tyler Moore Show. Seed 12 is out. We've got an interesting matchup for the next one with number 4 versus number 13. 4th seed, Happy Days. I mean, everybody has watched Happy Days at least once in their life. This show ran from 1974 to 1984, 11 seasons, created by Gary Marshall. It was one of the most successful shows of the 1970s. It was about kind of like an idealized family in the Midwestern United States in the 50s and early 60s. Starred Ron Howard as Richie Cunningham and Henry Winkler as the Fonz.
Where did it take place?
Was it Milwaukee. Milwaukee.
Or is that Laverne and Shirley? Milwaukee's Laverne and Shirley. I thought Happy Days was Kenosha, Wisconsin. Isn't that like in the Weezer video? Kenosha, Wisconsin's very own? Or is that just because it's close to Milwaukee?
I guess probably they're close to. They mention Milwaukee on the show all the time. So yeah. But the Fonz, one of the most iconic television characters of all time. Now, the song was written by Norman Gimbel and Charles Fox. These guys also wrote the theme song to Laverne and Shirley. It was recorded in 1974 by a guy named Jim Haas and a bunch of other session singers for two seasons. Now, this version was only used for the closing credits in the first couple of seasons, and then there was an updated version of Rock Around the Clock that was the opening credits for the first couple of seasons of Happy Days.
Ooh, gross. I didn't know that.
Yeah, by Bill Haley in the comments. So then the Happy Days song was re-recorded again. It used different lyrics from the original version, and this was the version that ran from seasons 3 all the way through season 10. And they actually released it as a single. It hit number 5 on the charts and number 3 in Canada. So Canadians loved Happy Days more than they did in the United States. Now, going up against it, the number 13 seed, Partridge Family. This was not a show that I watched a lot of. It only ran for 4 seasons from 1970 to 1974. It was about a family of musicians that traveled around together. It was kind of based on the band The Cowsills, which was also a musical family. They were popular in the 60s and early 70s, and they were most famous for the song Hair from the musical Hair.
And Flower Girl from that was featured in Dumb and Dumber, I think.
Okay. But yeah, you know, Shirley Jones, David Cassidy, Susan Day, Danny Bonaducci were all in this show. Now the song, Come On Get Happy, it was recorded by the Ron Hicklin Singers. Now you guys, I'm sure, are familiar with the Ron Hicklin Singers.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. it was written by Wes Farrell and Danny Jansen. Now, Wes Farrell also wrote, this is two interesting fun facts. He wrote the hit song Hang On Sloopy for the McCoys. And he also composed the theme to Gamera, the giant monster, in 1965.
Huge.
Yeah. So this guy's all over the place in his musical compositions here. So very interesting. So Happy Days versus the Partridge Family. I'm going to guess that it's probably, you guys are probably leaning towards Happy Days. But let's see, Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is extremely painful. I believe these two songs were my number one and two. This was my final two songs in the first round heading up. I love the Happy Days theme. It brings a smile to my face. Everyone loves it. The Partridge Family, I have Partridge Family songs on my music library on Apple Music, including Come On Get Happy, the theme song to the Partridge Family. And I listen to it a lot.
Okay.
To I Think I Love You a lot as well. And I can't believe that one of these songs is going to be gone already. And MASH is still in this. And
no, MASH is gone. MASH is gone.
Oh, sorry.
My bad. Sanford and Son.
And Sanford and Son is still in this. But I guess I'm going with my heart. You guys will probably pick the other one. Partridge Family for me.
Wow. Wow. Very interesting. Sean, what are you choosing?
Well, I got to say, I love that whole song, but it's not the hook that I like the best. It's the bridge between the two parts. It hits me so hard.
Great bridge. Actually, this is a tough call for me too. Both of these are pretty high up on my personal ranking. I feel like Partridge Family, there were reruns of that maybe on like YTV or something, because I've seen more of Partridge Family than Happy Days. That being said, I will vote for Happy Days. It is a great theme song, iconic. It's got to be in there.
Yeah.
I'll say this right now. Whatever one Greg's votes for, which is Happy Days, will win this tournament.
You think so?
Okay. Absolutely.
All right. I am voting for Happy Days. Sunday, Monday, Happy Days. Like every day is a happy day, according to these people. And it just, like, how can you not enjoy that? All right. So let's jump to the other side of the bracket and finish off the opening round with number two versus number 15. And that's WKRP was the number two seed here. This show, I mean, I always appreciated the show when I was younger. And then when I started working in radio, I started appreciating it more and more. Just because so many things rang true from what I was watching on the show. The show was about the misadventures of a staff at a struggling radio station in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was top 40 radio station, and it was created by a man named Hugh Wilson, who based the show off of his own experiences working for a top 40 station in Atlanta. He chose the name WKRP because KRP was to stand for crap, which alluded to more of the zany adventures that they were having. Pardon me?
Crap was... Did you know that's what the KRP was supposed to be for? Crap?
Yeah.
Wow. Never put
that together. It ran from 78 to 1982. The theme was composed by Tom Wells with lyrics by Hugh Wilson, who was the creator of the show, and is performed by a man named Steve Carlisle. I think this is a great theme song. and it's going up against like a very surprising entrant for me. Like I was blown away by how many people voted for this. The 15 seed was Bewitched. Now this aired for eight seasons from 1964. It ended in 1972. It was about a witch who marries just some dude and then vows to lead the life of a suburban housewife. The song was written by Howard Greenfield, Jack Keller. Just a simple instrumental song, and to me, huge surprise that it got into the bracket, going up against which I think is a monster of a theme song in WKRP. But Sean, what are you thinking about these two songs?
I gotta say, WKRP is pretty low down on my list, although I'm not that big on Bewitched either. Bewitched is instrumental. I like the vibe of it, but I mean, both of these they aren't in my head. Like I'd have to look them up to listen to them. Even WKRP in Cincinnati is not something that sticks in my head. So you know what? I'm going to go with Bewitched just to give Bewitched a shot here, even though I'm sure it's not going to win. A little bit of trivia for you here, Greg. There was an urban legend that Richard Sanders, the star of WKRP in Cincinnati, sang the theme song because I guess his voice sounds similar to Steve Carlisle.
Yes.
It's not true.
No, it is not true.
Yeah, right.
Frank?
I'm absolutely shocked and appalled by Sean's response. This is a fitting number two seed in this tournament, and WKRP is clearly the winner here. Not that I didn't like the Bewitched theme, but I'm really not into the instrumental themes. I'm going to be honest. It's all about singing these songs.
Sure. I get that. You know, the funny thing is about WKRP, because of the content on the show when originally aired, I think that's the reason why you can't get it streaming anywhere is because they can't use any of the original music that was played, I mean, that was overheard while they were in the radio station. So all these licensed songs that they can't afford. Years ago, I bought the DVD set, and it's just appalling. Like the changes in the music that's played, like when, you know, when Dr. Johnny Fever drops the needle on what's supposed to be Light My Fire, it's just this bland, generic, awful rock and roll song. It just kind of ruins the whole vibe of it. And it's unfortunate because because of that, I don't think we're ever going to see it like the originals streaming somewhere, which is a shame. But
there are a few shows like that where the music licensing can't happen and it just sucks.
Yeah,
I see here Blondie's Heart of Glass became a hit largely because it was played on this show.
There you go. Sitcoms making a difference. All right, so WKR moves on. WKRP moves on and Bewitched flies off on her broom. And all right, so let's go down to number 7 versus number 12. I was surprised that... that this number 7 seed wasn't higher up. I think this is a pretty good battle. 7 versus 12. We've got Three's Company. It aired 1977 to 1984. This was also based on a British sitcom called A Man About the House. Launched the career of John Ritter, who was a legendary physical comedic actor. The song Come and Knock on Our Door was written by Joe Raposo, with the lyrics were written by the executive producer of the show, Don Nickel. Joe Raposo, also famous for writing the theme song to The Electric Company and Sesame Street songs Bein' Green and C is for Cookie.
C is for Cookie is the best song out of all the ones he's written.
And 100% agree with you. C is for Cookie, total jam. Going up against the number 10 seed, Different Strokes. This show aired from 78 to 1985. Series starred Gary Coleman and Todd Bridges, who were two boys from Harlem taken in by a wealthy Park Avenue businessman and his daughter. I'm not sure this theme of the television of this show would, like, not the theme song, but like the idea of this show would fly nowadays. I don't know. It just seems bizarre, but So this theme song was called It Takes Different Strokes, written by, once again, Gloria Loring and Canadian hero Alan Thicke. This time, Alan Thicke sang this. So you heard his sweet, velvety baritone on this song every time you watch this with this show. Different Strokes versus Three's Company theme songs. And let's start with Frank.
Yeah, I guess I don't like the Three's Company song all that much, really. I almost sing it as a joke. Come on, I'm gonna do. I have no affinity for it whatsoever. And I love the Different Strokes theme song and watched the show when I was younger. So I'm factoring that out. I just don't like that. I like that song better. And I clearly really like the work of Gloria. What was her last name?
Gloria Loring.
And Alan Thicke. So Different Strokes for me. And it's not even close.
Sean?
Hey, I mean, I watched Different Strokes more, but I think Three's Company is one of the great sitcom theme songs. The fact that it starts with, you know, we've been waiting, come and knock on our door, we've been waiting for you. It's like kind of like just pulling you in. It's welcoming you into this show. So Three's Company all the way for me.
Wow, very interesting. I like when I get to do the tie break. Sorry, Frank. I know you hate when I agree with you, but Different Strokes moves on.
What?
I psyched you out, didn't I?
Upset. Yes.
Yeah, all right. So let's move on to the number 6 seed versus number 11 seed. I think this one
this is
could
really
be an epic battle.
Yeah.
This is an epic battle. Number 6. The Brady Bunch, sitcom created by Sherwood Schwartz, who also created Gilligan's Island. This ran from 1969 to 1974. You know what the show is about. Three kids and a mom, three kids and a dad. They come together and form this wonderful new family.
What's the housekeeper's name? Alice?
It is.
She's the
She's what?
The glue.
She's Alice. The glue?
All together.
Oh, yeah.
She had some of the best comedy on that show, for sure. Right, so Sherwood Schwartz also wrote the lyrics to the Brady Bunch theme song and, in fact, also wrote the lyrics to the Gilligan's Island theme song. This guy could write theme songs for television shows. So the song was originally performed by the Peppermint Trolley Company. You guys are very familiar with the Peppermint Trolley Company.
I don't have any Peppermint Trolley songs on my iPhone right now.
That was only in the first season, though. From the second season on, it was the actual six kids from the show that sang the theme song.
Mm.
So here's a fun fact about it. The movie The Wild Bunch, which was in theaters when the show was to come out, was so violent that the producers actually wanted to change the name of the show because they thought Bunch, the word Bunch, would make people think that this was a show, was a Western. And it was a violent show and not for families. So they were originally going to change the name to The Brady Brood. And I think Brood is a much more ominous sounding name than Bunch. Yeah, I think that would have been a terrible choice.
But you got the BRBR. I kind of like that. I don't know. That's a tough call.
It's going up against the 11 seed Laverne and Shirley. 1976 to 1983, the show aired. It was a spinoff of Happy Days, starred Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams, two friends and roommates who work as bottle cappers at Schott's Brewery in 1950s Milwaukee, Wisconsin. It was a spinoff because Richie and Shirley, I believe, were boyfriend and girlfriend for a time very briefly on the show. And that's where, and I think Lenny and Squiggy also made an appearance on Happy Days. The Laverne and Shirley theme song, Making Our Dreams Come True, was a 1976 hit single. It was written by Charles Fox and Norman Gimbel, recorded by Cindy Greco. It reached number 25 on the Hot 100 in the US and number 16 in Canada. Once again, proving Canadians love to listen to television theme songs on the radio more than people in the United States. I guess in 1976, it was either Making Our Dreams Come True or something from April Wine or Chilliwack. So they just went for the Laverne and Shirley theme.
Possibly controversial theory.
Okay.
Well, the CanCon requirements in Canada, you know, more of the radio would be populated with Canadian music. So the American stuff just bubbled up to the top because it was better. Maybe there was more competition in the US. I don't know. I love CanCon, but I've grown up with it my whole life. So just a theory.
You never know.
I mean, are any of these theme songs Canadian content? I guess the
Alan Thicke wrote it and sang it, possibly.
Yes, it would in fact meet the two of the factors of MAPLE, which stands for music, artist, producer, and lyrics. And two of those things have to be Canadian for it to qualify as Canadian content.
Yeah.
And Alan Thicke was on three of those four. So yes, the Different Strokes theme and the Facts of Life are certified Canadian content. That's pretty cool. So both of these shows, we talked about how the Brady Bunch was also almost called the Brady Brood. The original name of Laverne and Shirley was originally called
Laverne.
No, it had their last names, Laverne DeFazio and Shirley Feeney.
Oh, God, what a terrible name for a show.
Really? Awful. Just awful.
Kind of surprising, yeah.
All right, but we're talking theme songs. Number 6 seed, number 11 seed. This is an epic battle. And Frank, I know you're torn. You seem to be torn. I can see the sweat beating down your face. So we'll start with Sean. Sean, what's your vote?
I mean, I wish Laverne and Shirley could have made it to the second round, but going up against Brady Bunch, I think it's got to be Brady Bunch. I know Frank's going to say this shouldn't be a factor, but that iconic opening with the squares, with the faces, like, you can't not think of that. And it's great.
The Brady Bunch, well, clearly it shouldn't be a factor, Sean. You would never listen to the Brady Bunch theme on your own. You would definitely possibly use the Brady Bunch theme. I'm sure it's been joked before, like played it over and over on repeat to torture people.
Maybe
like the Barney theme song. We did that in high school over the PA system to do some fundraiser thing. And Laverne and Shirley, this is where it might be unfair because of Wayne's World. And just watching Wayne's World, I would say conservative guess 112 times in my teenage years. And this song being in it every time and then leading into cutting to Feed My Frankenstein. I mean, the two are inseparable. They're entangled forever. And I love on its own Laverne and Shirley, but when you factor in all that other things, I know it's biased. I know it's not right. But to me, this is a no contest. Laverne and Shirley going on to the next round. And I know Greg will agree. I don't even have to ask him.
I think the one thing that I think the big factor for my choice is the first thing that grabs you when the show starts. And Shemezel, Shemazel, Hassenpfeffer Incorporated, We're Gonna Do It, is what drags me into that show and keeps me watching it. Laverne and Shirley moves on. Another upset.
There you go.
It's not even said, I wish Laverne and Shirley could go on. Well, if you wish, vote for it.
I just, Brady Bunch is better, I think, but I didn't watch Laverne and Shirley at all. So like, if there's no nostalgia.
You didn't watch Wayne's World, Sean?
I did, but I just, that doesn't factor in. I didn't watch it 112 times.
Conservatively. It could be more.
All right. So moving into the last matchup of the first round, TV Junk Madness, we've got the number 3 seed, The Muppet Show, versus the number 14 seed, The Love Boat.
Now, I got to stop you, Greg, before you get into any details.
Okay.
We got controversy here.
Uh-oh.
The Muppet Show is not a sitcom. It's a variety show. It should never have been included in this list. I think Muppet bias going on here. I know you love the Muppets, and I know you love this theme, and it's tainted the entire bracket.
Well, it aired in the evening. It was comedy. I think it counts. It's a classic 70s show that aired at the nighttime.
Variety show. It'd be like including the Tonight Show theme on this list or other shows.
Well, the Tonight Show wasn't a half hour show.
But if it's a, if it's just about the theme songs, what does it matter what kind of show it is?
He said the entire bracket was 70s sitcoms. That was the premise. Where's the 70s dramas? They're not involved. It was based on genre. So I'll let it go. I'll let it go. But I just want, someone had to say it because I knew you guys would avoid the controversy.
I just I don't see it as a controversy.
I admit there are scripted elements to the Muppets. It's a pre-recorded show, but I think technically variety. But enough.
I mean, Wikipedia says variety sketch comedy series. So definitely not sitcom, but it is a comedy.
But the interstitials with the Muppets behind the scenes are in the vein of sitcomedy.
They are, yes. Like that whole relationship between Kermit and Miss Piggy. Wow. That is sitcom material.
Yep.
All right. Sorry, Greg. You can continue with your breakdown of these shows.
All right. So, you know, this show was created in 1974 and 1975, originated as two pilots, The Muppet Show. No one in the United States wanted it. So Jim Henson took it to the UK and put it on this channel ITV. And five seasons, it became a huge hit. And finally, first run syndication in the United States started in 1976. They realized their mistake, and then they started airing the show there as well. And the theme song, of course, was written by Jim Henson and performed by all of the Muppets. Going up against the Love Boat, which was the number 14 seed. The show aired from 77 to 86. There was also three television movies, four specials, and then a TV movie that aired after it. So lots of Love Boat content on television. The show was set on a cruise ship, the Pacific Princess, and all the crazy zany adventures around the crew and a bunch of different, you know, surprising guest stars each week on the boat. The show was, the theme song was composed by Charles Fox, it was performed by Jack Jones, which reached number 37 on the Billboard charts. Charles Fox also composed the theme song for the Wonder Woman television show. And then we also had the lyrics were written by a fellow named Paul Williams. And then he went on to write another Muppet theme song, The Rainbow Connection. So yeah. Paul Williams, pretty good with the songwriting pen. So Muppet Show, Love Boat. Frank, I know you're voting on this one in a little bit of protest.
Yeah, but I mean, let's not mince words here. The Love Boat theme does nothing for me. I think more of the Catholic boat from South Park than I do about the Love Boat. Never watched the show. Don't care. Overrated theme song. I rewatched the Muppet Show theme song last night, and I'm separating this. I just want to say, I love the intro to the Muppet Show so much, and it also was my favorite show probably from when I was four to probably leading up into Facts of Life would have been my next favorite show. There was a run of Dukes of Hazzard in there somewhere. I don't remember when. That was like for 4 weeks. But for sure, I had tons of Muppet toys, baby Kermit Jack in the Box when Muppet Babies was on. Love the Muppets, and I love this song. The Muppet Show is my vote.
Frank, I'm going to guess that when you had your brief love in with the Dukes of Hazzard, I'm gonna bet that it was when actors John Schneider and Tom Wolpat, who played Bo and Luke Duke, had a contract issue, and they were gone from the show for a season, and Bo and Luke were replaced by their blonde and brunette cousins, two more cousins, because Bo and Luke were cousins, and they were replaced by their other cousins, Coy and Vance, for one season on the Dukes of Hazzard.
Don't remember.
You probably walked in on Coy and Vance for like 4 weeks and been like, who are these people and why is this show so terrible? And then left, and you missed the whole Bo and Luke.
No, I can tell you, this is kind of traumatic, actually. I loved, my favorite character on Dukes of Hazzard by far,
Boss Hogg, yeah.
And then I remember there was an episode. I'm having flashbacks. I'm crying right now. Can you see
me? Okay.
it was an alien, I think, or a robot that was in the car. I have this distinct image of robot in robot or alien in the General Lee. Is that the name of the car?
Yes.
And I think I saw that. It was like when they said coming up on the Dukes of Hazzard or something like that. And I was terrified. And I don't think I ever watched it again after that point. I was really scared of aliens and robots. Unlike Sean, he is an alien and a robot.
Loved aliens and robots. It might have been episode. There's an episode called Robot P. Coltrane. A computer salesman sells boss a robot which easily catches the Dukes.
It could be. Let's look it up.
Season 7, episode 4.
Oh yeah. Lord. Yeah, I think this is the one that scared me. I was a wimp. Everything scared me, but aliens and robots really freaked me out.
So were you were not aware of Coy and Vance then?
No.
No. All right. So Dukes of Hazzard. We're going to go off on a tangent here. The song Just a Good Old Boys was Waylon Jennings. He performed the song and he was the narrator of the show as well. And did you guys watch on Netflix the documentary about the making of We Are the World?
Yes.
Yeah.
So the scene where Waylon Jennings just walks off because he doesn't want to sing lyrics in Swahili.
Yeah.
That made me laugh. He really was just a good old boy. And I liked how they inserted a bit of the theme song from the Dukes of Hazzard in that documentary as he stormed out.
I didn't remember that.
They did. As he was storming out, they played a bit of the Dukes of Hazzard theme song. All right. So, Frank, you're voting for The Muppet Show. And Sean, what's your vote?
I got to throw in some trivia for the Love Boat. Please. The theme song in the final season, there was a different arrangement by Dionne Warwick.
Oh.
So just got to mention that. But
who was also in the We Are the World documentary.
Yeah. But no, it's the Muppet Show all the way. I mean, this was one of the few shows on the list that I actually did watch and loved.
All right. So that is the first round, and we had a few upsets. I think we had 3 upsets plus a major upset in the first round. All right, so let's go on to round 2, and we've got the 16th seed, Facts of Life, taking on the 8th seed, Sanford and Son, and based solely on how you guys have talked about the Facts of Life, I think I have an idea how you guys are going to vote on this one.
I will be voting for the Facts of Life.
I think we have another upset on our hands. It's Facts of Life.
Facts of Life moves on to the final 4, the number 16. This is like, what's that college basketball team every year that every couple of years usually ends up on a huge run that everybody falls in love with? I can never remember.
Loyola.
Might be.
Like when I was in high school, that was Gonzaga kind of, but now it's the one with the nun, isn't it?
Loyola? Yeah. And what's the one with the nun?
I think it's something Loyola, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Let me see. Let me put Loyola NCAA nun. Sister Jean. Yeah, Loyola.
All right. And all right, so then we move on to the number 5 seed, the Jeffersons, versus the number 4 seed, Happy Days. This is a tough one. These are both excellent theme songs, but not for you, Frank.
I like I said, Happy Days would be my number 2, and it's close to the Partridge Family. There's certain days where I would probably pick Happy Days as my number 1. I've been on a bit of a Partridge Family run lately, as I mentioned earlier in the show, but Happy Days will be a fitting victor for this tournament.
Sean, your vote for Happy Days or the Jeffersons?
Yeah, I mean, if Happy Days can take out the Partridge Family, it can definitely take out the Jeffersons. So that would be my vote.
I would vote for the Jeffersons here. but it does not matter. Happy Days, the number four seed, moves on to the final four. And then we move over to the other side, the number two seed, WKRP, taking on the number 10 seed. Okay. This is if we get to this final and it's both Alan Thicke songs, people are going to think that we are in the pockets of Mr. Thicke. Anyway, WKRP, number two seed versus number 10, Different Strokes.
What's the Alan Thicke? He had another song, Thick of the Night, for his own show.
Yeah, yeah. He had his talk show.
That song's pretty good too.
Oh, yes. You should also watch the opening, the grand opening of the Sky Dome, because he also hosts that and he sings on that, and it's insane.
Really?
I would pick. Oh, yeah. I gotta re-listen. I'm listening to Thick of the Night, that song. Oh, what the thick of the night? I think it's really good. I will be listening to that immediately when we're done with this.
Well, then should go find the Sky Dome thing too.
I'll cast my vote first. As I said, maybe I'm the only person in the world that is not big on WKRP. I'm going to go with Different Strokes. So leave it to you guys to decide who moves on here.
Frank?
This is, other than that first round Partridge Happy Days competition, this is the toughest one for me yet. I really like both, but WKRP in Cincinnati is the winner. Not even close.
Yeah, I will also vote for WKRP to move on.
I guess it is close. I said not even close, but it is close. But when it's just definitive.
I'm sorry, Alan Thicke. One of your songs is now gone. And then we move down to seed number 11, Laverne and Shirley, taking on the third seed, The Muppet Show. Probably another tough one for Frank.
Oh, yeah. This is where I might let the variety show bias come to an end here.
Sure.
And I'm picking Laverne and Shirley.
Okay. Sean?
Muppet Show for me.
Ooh, boy. That's a lot of pressure.
You said you love being the tiebreaker.
I do love being the tiebreaker. So we are going to move on with The Muppet Show, the third seed. Nice. Laverne and Shirley is gone. Wow. So we are left with seeds number 2, 3, 4, and 16. How about that?
Crazy.
It is. Facts of Life versus Happy Days. Sean.
Okay, yeah, this is getting hard. I kind of want to go with Facts of Life. If I look at let me just double check my personal ranking.
Right.
Number one, Facts of Life. Number two, Happy Days. So there you go.
He's going back to the list. Wow. Sean, both of Sean's top two. I am Happy Days all the way.
Oof. Let's see. That is a tough one as well. I think I'm going to go Happy Days.
Oof. The run ends.
That was crazy.
Just like the nun, right? You know, she is able to propel that basketball team a couple of rounds and then that's it.
Sister Jean, your time is up.
That's right. Two versus three. This is probably the biggest battle we've had. WKRP versus The Muppet Show as far as seedings goes.
I feel like for Greg, these are two big ones for you. This is going to be very painful.
I have thrice soiled myself.
Well, I'll go first. I'm voting for WKRP in Cincinnati.
Sean?
I will go with The Muppet Show.
Oh, my God. What to do here? Yeah. I'm going with The Muppet Show.
What?
The number three seed moves on.
Well, we know where this one's going. I called it back in the first round.
Happy Days versus The Muppet Show is our final. And I am going to vote for The Muppet Show. Frank, who are you going to vote for?
Happy Days.
Sean, it all comes down to you.
So much pressure.
Who is going to be the winner of TV Junk Madness 2024 1970s half hour comedy type show theme song competition.
It's going to be Happy Days.
It is Happy Days. Every day is a happy day. And Henry Winkler is smiling from his cell phone as he posts on Twitter right now to talk about how great this theme song was. All right. So I think this is...
Like, I want a Partridge Family. But in the, right. in the bottom of my heart, I'm like, well, at least I know Happy Days will win now. Because if Partridge Family had won, it would have got eliminated along the way. So if Partridge Family can't win, I want it to be Happy Days. So this... I could have
easily manipulated things along the way by voting for Partridge Family in the first round to take out Happy Days.
That would be unethical, and I think you're above that.
Yeah, I am above that, and you know, that's why I didn't force Barney Miller into this thing. Just it didn't get the votes, and I didn't want to see it get eliminated first round because that would make me sad. All right, so 1970s, you know, a great idea for me. Maybe not the best group of theme songs for the rest of you guys to check out. So, you know, maybe we'll move into 80s and 90s, and maybe one we'll switch in probably maybe into dramas for next March when we do it. You know, there's a ton of good ones out there. Fall Guy, Magnum P.I., Simon and Simon, Hunter, The Equalizer, like there's
a 50.
Yeah. Well, that man, I think that's the '70s, but maybe I'll have to double check when that one's on. But
A Team, it's going to be the final two is going to be A Team and Magnum PI. I can tell you right now.
What about Knight Rider, dude? Like, come on, there's a lot.
A Team and Magnum PI are the best. I didn't mention this. My friend used to buy these television hits, television theme song CDs.
Yes.
And we would listen to them all the time, but. The 80s one I loved, and I at one point had the A Team theme, like all the words memorized. It was my thing. So I'll be back for that one, guaranteed. And I'll have a lot of thoughts.
What about Airwolf and Blue Thunder?
Don't care for them. There's also, I mean, the one
Riptide,
that
Riptide, Matlock.
Let me
Jake
just...
and the Fat Man, Murder She Wrote.
Now we're talking.
Let me just see. There's a very famous cartoon theme composer, and I always get his name kind of wrong.
Matt Houston, another good theme song.
No, where is it? Come on.
What about 21 Jump Street? That was, I think that was late 80s.
Yeah, I think so.
One sec. Why can I... oh, geez Louise. Wheeled Warriors.
Oh, that guy.
Theme writer. Why can't I? Oh, Shuki Levy. Okay. He wrote like so many of the 80s theme songs. And like, if you go down his list, it is nothing but bangers.
Like Thundercats cartoons. Is that what you're talking about? You said cartoons, it was?
Yeah, let's see. Let's.
Mask is in there.
Yeah, he did Mask.
Mask.
There's a YouTube channel that remixes some of these songs. They're not all his songs, I don't think, but I got to get some of the list here. Oh, like even Weird One, like he's all over the place in terms of style.
He did the X-Men animated series, which is obviously a classic.
Yeah. Hops, Dennis the Menace cartoon, The Real Ghostbusters, one of my all-time favorites, She-Ra, Princess of Power, Jace and the Wheeled Warriors. One I listen to all the time. I can't believe he didn't do Silverhawks because I love the Silverhawks theme. Yeah, 80s cartoon themes could be really tough. You do that one. I'm here anytime, any place. You let me know.
All right. Well, we're definitely going to be doing that one probably next March, or we may do one earlier if we haven't found a good show to do in its spot. Well, I appreciate you guys coming on and doing this one. Sean, what's the next Film Junk Premium?
Film Junk Premium.
Yeah, what's the next one you're doing?
Denis Villeneuve is the plan.
Okay. So like
his, some of his early movies through to Arrival, I think. Not sure exactly when that's going to happen. Next couple of weeks, probably.
And do you guys, did you enjoy Dune and Dune 2?
Yeah, absolutely.
I still haven't seen either one.
Check them out.
We did watch a bunch of the Best Picture nominees over the last little bit too, just to see a few, because I'd only seen Killers of the Flower Moon and Barbie before. But we watched American Fiction, mm-hmm. which I enjoyed, and we watched Oppenheimer, and we watched The Holdovers. Nice. So what's your pick for Best Picture? What's going to win?
Probably Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Frank, what do you think?
Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Do you think is that the favorite?
I believe so, by a long shot, but you never know.
And is Christopher Nolan nominated?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And will he win?
Yeah. Most likely.
Did he win the Directors Guild?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Usually that's a big,
do my research.
That's a big indicator usually.
Yeah.
And Frank, the next Ball Junk, we are also going to do a Madness style show sometime over the next couple of weeks. And do we want to tell people what we're doing?
Sure. Go for it.
So again, we don't want to do the typical one of sports movies. We're not going to do something that other people have already done before. Now, this may have already been done, but we thought it was something more on the unique side. We are doing sports film coaches. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do the bracket setup that way. So all your favorite coaches from maybe even throw in some television ones as well from TV and film. Dude with the fuzzy mustache from Major League.
He's Lou in Brown. There. Yeah, I was just right. about to say, if you don't want Lou Brown to win, you better get someone else on the show. Close.
You can't tell people who you're going to be pushing through all the way to the end already.
Robert Duvall's character Harry in Days of Thunder is also going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, there are some definite good ones on the list. We'll set up a bracket.
That's my final four. Who's my other? I saw your list. I'm like, I bet he forgot this one. No, they're all there. It's a solid list of coaches. Well,
I appreciate. I did put some work into it to put them all together, and I figure since you're here, Sean, would you like to be the third?
Oh,
on this podcast.
That's an honor. Yeah, sure. I mean, I hope I've seen all the movies that you're talking about.
On the spot. Ouch.
That's right. So, once I've done the bracket, I'll set you up and you can at least, look up Google images to see what they look like if you haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, that's the important thing is what they look like. So,
I think Rookie of the Year, the coach is Gary Busey.
Nice.
He's on the list. Oh yeah, there's some good coaches out there. Nick Nolte, Gene Hackman. Oh, it's going to be a good episode.
Oh yeah.
All right. Thanks for doing the show, and we don't know what's going to be in episode 28, but we'll let you know as soon as we know. Thanks for listening.
You can watch Mr. Rogers. You can watch Three's Company, and you can turn on Fame or the Newlywed Game or the Addams Family. Say you can watch Barney Miller. You can watch your MTV, and you can watch till your eyes fall out of your head. That'll be okay with me.